Forever Dog.
Good afternoon, you sexy beach.
Good afternoon, you sexy beach.
You sexy beach. Sydney, do you see anything different about my apartment?
It looks cleaner.
No, the bike is gone.
Oh, well, that's why it's cleaner. It looks cleaner because you ain't got any.
I sold my bike yesterday. That giant raggedy beach.
I'm so proud of you. I mean, I was happy that you got a bike, and then I was like, the bike is really, it's not really your style. Not biking, but the bike style was not you.
Well, it was black and skinny and simple, and that's what I wanted, or I wanted like a bright red bike. So the complete opposite. But it was also, it was too big for me, and it was taking up too much space in my apartment because my raggedy ass landlord would not let me leave it in the hallway, that crusty, dusty beach.
Well, the craziest thing is that that's most landlords. They said I can't have my shit near my door either, so.
Yeah, but it was in the hallway.
Yeah,
in the building.
Mine's was in the hallway as well.
Oh, yeah, but yours and your landlord's bike was in that hallway for literally like
yeah,
6 years.
Okay, but she could have moved her bike. I live downstairs. She does not. So
who complained? Because I remember coming in and out of your apartment. It was like an episode of Legends of the Hidden Temple. So how, who, her dad said something?
Yeah, her dad said something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Not only was it a fire hazard, but allegedly somebody lives downstairs or will live downstairs. And I'm like, never see them. They never come up that way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I was like, you ain't got to lie, Craig. You ain't got to lie.
Don't you hate landlords that lie? I don't like my landlord, but I think she really wants me to like her. She keeps bringing me gifts. The other day, she knocked on my door and gave me rubber dish gloves.
What?
But she's like, oh, you have the smallest hands in the building, and these are too small for me. And I was like, do I have the smallest hands? There are people with
tinier rubber hands dish gloves that you buy for like $2 at like Duane Reade.
Right, right. And then she gave me, every couple of months or every like Christmas or whatever, she'll bring me like a bottle of wine, but it's like that wine that they sell near the cash register at like a CVS.
Oh,
you know what
like
I mean?
A Chateau Diana or something?
Yes. Yes, Chateau Diana, exactly.
Uh-huh.
And it's like
super
sweet.
Zero alcohol, yeah.
Right, and it's like it's juice. It's uh-huh. juice in a wine bottle.
I mean, but she's trying. I mean, first of all, she's older and she's cheap. We know that she is cheap.
She's cheap.
She don't want to spend no kind of money. So you're lucky that somebody didn't give her that bottle of wine and then she regifted it to you.
Right. But I honestly, the first time she gave me a bottle, that's what I thought had happened. But she gives me a bottle frequently enough that I'm like, oh, she just got this at the Duane Reade before she came here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I do truly think that she wants me to like her, which makes me like her less.
Oh, is that the key to Marie's heart? Not trying to impress you?
Listen, if you really want me to like you, you should make me not pay no rent, babe. Or make it easier for me to pay rent because she only wants a check every month. And it's like, babe, Venmo is the future. You live in the past.
I agree. But also there's Zelle. Like, I mean, just make it easier for me to pay so when I'm late, you can be like, there should be no excuse why you're late.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I'm going to be late with a check because I got to go find the check. Then I got to go write the check.
I got to remember how to complete a check.
The check. Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't know.
I'm like,
girl, I haven't filled out a check ever.
Every month I do it and I'm like, what name?
Yeah.
Don't put a cross through the X? Like,
I don't know. We got to talk to her. We got to hang out. Invite her to the knit. Have her come out.
Invite her to the knit?
Yeah. She's got to like loosen up.
Yeah.
She's real tight.
She's a religious Caribbean lady. So her at the knit would be like, oh, you guys need prayer and Jesus and you know, she's throwing holy water at the stage and we slipping and sliding up there. So
I mean, honestly, I might need it. I'm not opposed to that. At where I am in my life, I'm like, maybe some good prayer and a really homophobic religious woman can change my life.
How?
It's the energy.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that answered the question.
It's powerful energy.
Homophobic old people is powerful energy?
Yes. Let me tell you, this is a good story. This is me and when I was with, you know, my ex, Adrian. We're in the airport. It's like so early in the morning. It's like 6 o'clock in the morning and we're there for a flight or whatever. Mm-hmm. And there's this old, like, I think she was Trinidadian.
Yes, that sounds about right.
Yeah, a lady at the, like, you know, making the bagels or making the breakfast and stuff like that. And she's talking to us. She's like, oh, it's so nice, you girls together. You know, the buddy system is so important while traveling. And she really, like, thought we were friends. And I had ordered a bagel with cream cheese. And she was just talking and putting more cream cheese on the bagel. And I know that cream cheese costs more money. Like, she should have charged us extra. But I was like, I will be straight to get this bagel with more cream cheese, with no payment.
So she thought you guys were friends, but you guys were like hugged up on each other at the airport?
I mean, when she started talking to us, it was just like, damn, this is so uncomfortable. Like, I wanted to be close to Adrian, but I immediately like backed away. It was like, yeah, girl. Yeah,
straight
friend.
For discount. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're saying you need more of that energy.
Yes. Yeah, actually.
Interesting. That's an interesting. What terminal were you in, sis? What?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Terminal 5, babe.
Actually, I have no idea what that means. But okay. Okay.
Well, obviously, we have to talk about our expertises.
No, we actually don't because I don't have one.
Oh, okay.
I was going to use your gay-ass story to segue into another gay-ass story.
Oh, okay. All right. That feels good.
Rita Ora and Tessa Thompson. Thompson? Thomas? Thompson.
There's a P in there.
Thompson.
So I would imagine Thompson, yeah.
Well, you know I don't know how to spell.
I know the guy's name is really... I always forget how to say his name. The director, actor...
He doesn't matter, to be honest. He remains nameless. It's about the women.
No, he's a director.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a director and actor, yeah.
And
everything that I had read about him was calling him her boyfriend / a director.
It's Tessa Thompson's boyfriend.
No, it's Rita Ora's boyfriend.
Oh, Lord have
mercy.
Wow,
sis. Which is the most I've ever talked about Rita Ora in my life.
Yeah, she's making a comeback. She's making a comeback. This is how you do it. This is how you splash back into the pool.
I don't know a single Rita Ora song.
No, not one.
Andrew? Resident beige gay?
I think Black Widow, but I think that's an Iggy Azalea featuring Rita Ora.
Definitely don't know it if it's an Iggy song.
Yeah.
Okay, but Marie, explain everything that happened because we didn't even get into it.
Oh, all I saw, they were trending on Twitter the other day, or actually have been trending for the last couple days because they look like they're in a three-way relationship, or at least the man who is Rita's boyfriend was kissing her and kissing Tessa, and Tessa and Rita were very hugged up on each other when he got up from the table. I saw a couple mimosas on the table, so it's giving brunch. Now people are talking about poly relationships, but also, more importantly, they're talking about Rita because that's a name we have not said in a while.
I'm actually happy for her because, you know, press is press. Press. Rita needs some press. Rita needs so much press.
Yeah.
Yeah, she does. So whatever she needs to do to get out there, I truly believe that they were doing that for the camera. I don't necessarily believe that they're in a three-way relationship.
I don't think that they're doing anything for cameras. I don't think it necessarily means that they're in a relationship, but I do think that they are probably hooking up. I don't know what country or what island they were in, but Tessa is somebody who's pretty private about her business. So I do think that it's more than just a photograph. I don't think they were posing. Tessa, remember her and her little Janelle Monáe phase?
Yeah.
And then I was reading the tweets and people were connecting Lupita to it. And I said, oh, Lupita was with Tessa?
No, Lupita or Janelle? Was like, we're just friends. She's like, that's my sis.
Yes, 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 yes. That's what I would say if somebody was like, are you sleeping with this person? I'd be like, this is my friend. This is sis.
But Marie, but like there's so many pictures of us together. People are like, you guys are in a relationship. It's like, no.
Well, that's because they know that you're a lesbian, sis. And they think that I might be. That's all that is. That's all that is. He was fully making out with both of them.
Yeah.
I don't think that it was just pictures. They, I mean, only maybe two of them people need press. Tessa don't need that.
When the Corbel is in the system, ain't no telling.
When the Corbel?
Yeah.
What's that? Is that the wine that they sell at CVS?
Yeah.
That's CVS the, champagne?
That's the champagne that's actually good with mimosas. Well, that's when I can remember good mimosas.
Sydney, do you think you could ever do a poly relationship?
I'm going to say a strong no. I'm a jealous person. I actually am very jealous. Mm. It doesn't seem like it at times, but I am extremely jealous. And my fear is feeling like the third wheel. And that could possibly happen in a poly situation because I can be boring at times.
Mm.
And lazy. Mm.
That's so interesting because in New Orleans, when Carolina called you an auntie or said you give auntie energy, you were like legit offended by that.
No, what she was trying to do is say that how I dress sometimes is auntie, and that is actually not true. That is false. The lie detector test said that
determined that was a lie?
It is a lie.
I don't know. It's inconclusive on my side, sis.
Excuse me?
I mean, I feel like you dress very fun and young, but I also do feel like in my brain, I see you in like a silk blouse with a matching silk pant.
What?
When?
Yeah.
I don't know. Where are the photos?
Maybe I'm thinking about the pictures that we took for Macy's because that you did have on a silk suit, sis.
Sis, that was for work. That wasn't my own choices.
No, I feel like you picked that out from the rack, babe.
Well, they're off the record, on the record. Hey, Macy's, we didn't have all of the choices that I would have picked. So from what I had, that's what I could work with.
Off the record, on the record. Macy's, y'all know what y'all did. Anyway, just when she mentioned your auntie clothes, that's the outfit that popped into my brain, sis. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but again, that's not in my closet.
Right.
So that's not any of the looks that I came to New Orleans with or I'm at the Knit or any of the photos that I'm with you. So you're wrong. And I want an apology.
I'm not apologizing, Sydney. You cannot demand an apology because somebody said something and then I repeated it on this podcast.
But you agreed.
I said that outfit came to mind.
Mm.
That's what I said.
It's wrong.
Mm. The outfit was wrong, actually.
Well, thank
you. It wasn't her outfit.
Yeah, I'm glad that I got paid for it, sis. So
honestly, now that I think about it, I don't know if my money came in. I'm going to have to hit them back up. Hey, babe, I worked a job in 2019.
I was like, girl, that was like 2 years ago, you fool.
I'm checking my records, and I don't think I see the money.
I think poly relationships are for people who are so in tune and confident with themselves. I just could not. It wouldn't feel right.
I don't know if it's necessarily a confidence thing. Maybe it's for people who are bored. Maybe it's for people who want to date a man and a woman. Maybe it's, you know, maybe it's for people who have commitment issues. Poly, couples. And does poly only mean three, or can it be four? Can it be five?
It could be multiples. You could do however many numbers you have. And for me, that feels like you got to have a lot of sheets. You'd be like constantly like switching sheets out. You got to have like a good decor. I don't want to see somebody in a studio apartment having like seven relationships. That just feels like you need to get your priorities in order.
Yeah.
I don't know if poly equals good house, but Maybe you're using less sheets because you have more houses to rotate where you end up in at night. Because maybe I'm in my apartment once or twice a week, and then I'm at, you know, I'm at Gerald's house a couple nights, and then we at Kim's house for the weekend.
Yeah, you know, but but poly means like everybody could be with multiple people. Like it's all a 6 degree of separation type shit.
It's not, yeah, just but an if I'm poly and I'm in a,
huh?
That's just an open relationship. Right. Poly is like, that's a defined, like, who's in the relationship. 3, 4, 5. But it's those people it's that exclusive. Are in the relationship.
It's exclusively poly.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's what I understand.
Okay. That's how I understood it to be as well.
Okay, exclusively poly. Got it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because, like, otherwise, we're not in a relationship. We just dating other people. And sometimes we hook up.
Mm-hmm. I know a couple of people who are poly. And one of the couple is married, and the one person hooks up with one of the wives, but not both of them. So maybe that's not poly. Maybe that's, is it open?
That sounds open, sis.
I'm confused, but I think the other wife doesn't have anybody. It's weird. I don't know.
The other wife doesn't have anybody. See, that doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
Because if you banging somebody else, we're banging them,
mm-hmm.
or I'm also banging somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The problem with this situation is I just don't have the wherewithal to, like, spread myself that thin. You see what I'm saying? Like, If I'm hooking up, I want to hook up with one person and they know what I'm about to give. I'm not trying to give with that many people. That feels like a lot of work.
Exhausting.
It is.
I don't know, sis. I think I have the wherewithal to spread myself that thin.
Okay, well, and come on, lady. Go ahead,
then. Fully all right. Prepared.
Off the record.
I'm fully prepared for Tuesdays with Tyler, Wednesdays with Wayne. Thursdays, maybe I'll rest Thursdays because I have swim. Fridays with Philippe. I just feel like we did it before. Not we, because not everybody went through a hoe phase. Mine is now. But there are people who were hooking up all through their 20s, all through their teens.
Wait, you know? Do you want Tyler, Wayne, and Philip to also be hooking up with each other?
Yes, because that's
no.
the poly.
I'm
that's
not saying.
That's
I'm
poly.
Not saying,
you're
poly.
Saying
no,
open.
I'm not saying that I want to be poly. That's not
okay.
what I said.
Okay.
I said I have the wherewithal to spread myself thin.
Okay.
Well, I would hook up with multiple people.
Well, when I was talking about spread myself thin, I'm talking about a poly relationship. So that it was just a miscommunication. But yeah, and that's why you're dating. That's why you're out here.
Yeah, but, you know, dating is actually, it's something, I like going on dates, but men are dumb. Like, some of y'all are really dumb. Like, the other day I was in bed, it was Saturday, I woke up, and I got a text from this guy who I've just been texting, and he was like, wanna come over and make out? And I was like, no, not really. It was 10:30 in the morning and I hadn't had breakfast yet. Mm-hmm. And I've also never met this person. So you saying want to come over and make out when the sun is out? Like full sunlight? That's a text that you send at night when people been drinking. People are bored. People already got residual makeup on from the day that's passed.
No, that's hot person privilege. They're like, I feel like I look good enough to do this in the morning.
No, they are beyond. They're delusional. Yeah.
No, don't do that. No.
Yeah.
Just because
he was delusional because I said, no, I don't really want to come over there.
You
they might
have
think
even
that they're
fed
hot.
Me.
Yeah.
Well, but she showed me a picture of him and I actually think he's attractive.
He is very cute.
I think he would look good at 11 a.m.
Okay.
On a Saturday.
Also, I feel like this is an important question. Is it during the week, like a weekday or a weekend?
No, that's a weekend.
It was a Saturday morning text.
Oh, yes. Okay. All right.
But I said, no, not really. And he was like, well, I tried. And I was like, but did you? Did you try?
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah. Because you sent a text. Like, I had never even met this person.
Yeah.
Like, we've never even hung out. We've never FaceTimed. I don't know if he has he's missing a tooth in the back. I don't know how tall he is. I don't know how tight he wears his pants. I've never met him in real life and then got that text. And it was like, what do you think this is, Europe? I'm in New York. I'm not making those moves right now.
Yeah, but I do give him props for being outlandish as he was, because it's like, you got to test the waters. Stop. I'm over here, when I was on the apps, I'm over here like, oh, high is not enough. High is corny. I'm trying to think of all these like fun things to say to get someone's attention. And he's right away like, you want to make out? Like, that's, no. I think he was just trying to test. Like, let's see how far we'll go.
What? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, honestly and truly, I sent them his message to the group chat, his picture to the group chat, and Sydney and Carolina were like, yes, do it. Love it. List it. Amina was like, don't listen to Carolina. But if he had caught me on a better day, no, not that. If he lived closer to my house, I might have gone.
Okay.
But that's it was like, I'm not going all the way out there. The Uber's going to cost how much?
Yeah.
I'm not transferring trains. If he was like, want to come over and make out, I'll come get you. That's a completely different.
That's hot.
Yeah. The come get you, I would have been like, oh yeah, I would have brushed my teeth and I would have been outside.
What he should have said is, can I make you breakfast? Can I pick you up? And then let's make out.
Right. Well, that the can I make you breakfast thing happened later, because I said, I haven't even had food yet. That's wild. And he said, I can cook for you. And I was like, can you cook? And he said, yeah, I can eat too. And ooh, that's when I said, let me check if the Uber surge went down. Wow. I can eat too.
I like that. I mean, the guy seems flirty. Like, what the fuck do people want? I mean, listen, this is my issue with, like, everyone. Mm-hmm. It's like, people make it so hard to actually break the ice that when the ice is finally broken, you're exhausted. Because you imagine how many people he probably had to message to get to you to say you want to make out at 10:30 a.m.
Shut up, Sydney. So he had just been texting everybody since 9:45, do you want to make out? And he got to me and I almost said, that's what you're saying?
Yeah.
It does sound like that, yeah.
Yeah, but you're not, I should be at the top of the list. I should be the first person you ask. And then after I say no, then you go down the list.
That's delusional.
I don't want to be number four.
That is delusional that you think, especially in this climate, I should be number one? Bitch, what? Excuse me. We almost died.
Whoa. Sorry. Excuse you. If you are horny in the morning when you wake up, I should be the first person you text, not the fourth. If you texted somebody else before me, that means I'm runner up to some other lonely, not as wop as me girl. No, you should be texting me first. That's what I'm saying.
I'm sorry, honey. Are we in a relationship? Why would you be the first?
Because I'm hot and my box is moist. Mm-hmm. That's why.
Girl, I'm sorry. That's not the grounds for number one. If you said that you're the most amazing person besides just sex, I mean, which you are.
Wait, but he's never even met Marie.
It's just sex. Exactly. It's just, we're going off of what I look like and what you think I'm capable of in the bedroom. You should be texting me first. That's what I'm saying. That's how confident I am in what I'm capable of. You're saying I'm out of my mind because I think that it's fun and I'm hot?
Yes.
That, absolutely. To me, I think I deserve an apology.
No. I'm not. It's not just you. It's not just you. It's everybody. Like, I mean, I'm sure there's so many people who have WAP and are beautiful and they still get cheated on left and right. That is not grounds for number one.
Sis, I'm not talking about a relationship. I'm talking about, who are you swiping on these apps that you're like, oh, we would have a good time together. Oh, she seems fun. That's all I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at my profile, looking at what I'm bringing to the table,
mm-hmm.
based on my personality, it's like, oh, Marie will be fun this morning. If you text, who else could he possibly be texting, Sydney? Who else? Ooh. Who in Brooklyn from Tinder?
Girl, the way these people be on the app all fucking day, you full be time. Surprised. I was at a comedy show and not one, but three dudes were on Hinge during the comedy show.
Hinge?
Yes. Oh, it was crazy.
They trying to find wives at the comedy
show. It was crazy. I was like, there's a full-on comedian giving jokes, going back to back with bits that they've been working on through the pandemic, and this man is just
listen. With the fucking the first time I ever saw a dude on Tinder was at a party.
Yeah.
And the way he was swiping, I thought he was playing a video game.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, because there's all people around. Yeah. Like actual women, actual men yes. in the room.
Yes.
And he was swiping so fast. And mm-hmm. I was like, what game are you playing? And he was like, oh, it's Tinder. And I was like, you looking for hoes while there are hoes around?
Yes. Like, that's how insane they are. That's why I'm just saying, I'm like, to hold these people's attention, I don't know. I truly... Looking good and having WAP is, or the possibility of WAP. If they've never even hooked up, how do they know?
Listen, Sydney, I mean, I don't know how you think about you in the morning when you wake up, but when I wake up in the morning, I'm like, at least 10 people, maybe 10 is generous, at least 10 people woke up and my name or my face popped into their brain. And really, I think that's how you should wake up in the morning, sis. You need to channel a little bit of that, you know, some of that cocky energy into your life. It'll change your life. Your fridge will be cleaner.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, I actually finally cleaned my refrigerator, so I am feeling more confident about myself. I mean, it's like, how could you walk out confidently, you know, with your eyebrows drawn on, knowing that you have the dingiest, nastiest refrigerator for months?
Can we talk about the fridge? Why was there so much stuff in your refrigerator? You are a family of one and two cats.
Yeah.
Why was your fridge so full?
I am a hoarder, Marie. I am a hoarder. It's really hard for me to throw things out. And then things pile, and like considering, you know, all the Sid Can Cook stuff, it was like, oh, I was used to things being used and then I don't have any more of it. But mm-hmm. towards the end, I was only doing it once a month. So I buy all this stuff and you know, all of it is not getting used. So I have like onions and peppers and random butters and sauces and doubles of things that I forgot that I had bought.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, but Sydney, I also feel you were always overbuying for yes, Sid Can Cook too.
Absolutely, yes.
You were always buying
down.
More than you
hands
needed.
Down. Hands yeah. down. Yes, truly, truly.
It was like, oh, I'm going to make this thing. I'm going to buy 7 pounds of beef. Uh-huh. And he was yeah. like, what?
Yeah.
Why?
It's true. So you okay. know the thing that I never bought enough of? Wings. We would always be out of wings.
Well, wings is, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody's eating like 6.
Mm-hmm. But it was so much and it was so nasty and it was just like the
what's
things.
What are some of the things you pulled out of the fridge that the listeners who maybe aren't on IG missed?
Oh, there was some salmon teriyaki.
There was
in
a
there.
Couple bento boxes of salmon yeah. teriyaki. Yes.
The salmon teriyaki was gone, but like, you know, the other, like the tempura or mm-hmm. like two California rolls, like pieces of California roll. It was, oh God, just.
I just don't understand why you weren't eating that stuff later in the day.
Yeah.
Like.
I think this is my issue, right? Like, I'll be hungry and then the food will get here and I'll eat some of the food. And it's like, well, I don't have a big enough appetite for everything. So then I'm like, I don't want to throw it away because I will be hungry again. So I put it in the refrigerator and what? Boop, boop, boop. Oh, not and left the house. Now we go into a show and I'm eating outside now. So yeah. I don't need that food.
Yeah, but sis, them bento boxes was from before the
show.
Oh
my God.
Don't do that.
Yeah. Wait,
before
how long
we were outside,
they...
your fridge looked like that the whole pandemic. Don't do that.
I know.
How long were they in there, the salmon teriyaki?
About 2 weeks. Two to three weeks.
Yeah. That's good.
Marie's face.
I don't believe it. I think that one of those boxes was the salmon teriyaki box from the Langston episode.
No, it's not. I had of like, there was like a pan of macaroni and cheese, but just the edges of the macaroni and cheese, I had eaten all, it was pretty much done, but like, oh my God, the mole.
Oh my God.
The mole was so nasty. And then like, you know where you put your vegetables? Oh my God. They lifted up and screamed at me.
What, you mean the drawers at the bottom of the fridge?
Yes. Yeah.
You had vegetables in your fridge? Stunned.
I love that.
Stunned.
Thank you. But yeah, I posted on Insta stories for the content, and it was so many people messaging like, oh my God, I thought I was the only one. So many. Mm. A lot of them were beige, but yeah.
Well, you did post some that were disgusting.
Yeah.
Like, not only was the fridge full of stuff, but the actual fridge was dirty. Was
nasty. Yeah.
It's like, babe, it's leaking. Soaking wet. That's nasty.
Sugar, lug, or salt. It is nasty, but I also, I think it sheds light on being like a high functioning depressed person where, oh, you can get up and do certain things. And then there's other stuff that it's like, you just, it is such a chore to get to and it piles up. And then you're like, oh, I'm that old lady that Hoarders is coming in trying to like save the 15 cats that are underneath
and there's the piles always a of boxes. Smushed, it's always a smushed cat behind the fridge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So like, it's a real thing. I finally got my closet cleaned. You know, Manny came and he cleaned out everything. He threw everything away. I have some boxes that's in the closet, but for the most part, all the clothes and everything is gone.
Why are the boxes in the closet? Why can't we just cut them up and fold them, flatten them?
Well, there's a Christmas tree that I didn't unbox.
Yo, Sydney, you got a Christmas tree? I didn't see a single Christmas tree in that apartment.
I know.
For Kwanzaa or what's the other one? Hanukkah. I didn't see. What? I know. You got a full-size Christmas tree?
Yeah, but it's like, you know, artificial.
Yeah. I would hope so. It's in
Andrew,
your closet.
Andrew's looking like, excuse me?
Wait.
He said, I would hope so.
So, wait, you had this when the holiday season rolled around, but you didn't unpack it?
Nope. Right, because then I went to LA.
Oh, okay. Then that's understandable.
Yeah. And I didn't want to throw it away because it's like, well, it's a whole tree.
Yeah, of course.
Right, but what was the return policy on the tree when you got it?
Well, that's another thing. It's really hard for me to return stuff.
It's very easy for me to return stuff. That's where we're different because I will get my money back and I do not, I don't like clutter. My apartment is too small for all of that clutter. Yeah. So I have a mom who's a low-key hoarder.
Yeah.
Every time I go to her house, I'm trying to throw things away. She be holding on to things like, this is the newspaper that came out when Obama was elected. And it's like, sis, we have Google. We don't need this old-ass newspaper. She'll save the whole thing. She'll be like, oh, this is when Princess Diana was murdered. This is the... Girl, there's a Beanie Baby. We do not need all of these pages of newspaper.
That's how my auntie was. That's how my auntie, my uncles, my mom, like, I think it's hereditary. Like, it's just in my veins to be this
an auntie. Yeah.
No.
A circle back.
No, bitch. Andrew. Andrew, as much as I don't like silencing a white gay, I'm silencing.
You don't like silencing.
You don't
a
like
white gay?
By all means, go ahead. If that's the hill that you want to die on.
Yeah, Sydney. What? Okay. You said that on my Sydney. I think I deserve an apology.
I'm sorry.
We've been shutting white men down since 1999.
I know.
Shout out to the beige male listeners.
But it was scary. It was definitely scary to see. And like at the bottom of the refrigerator, that like there's just.
Was another cat?
No, dead fruit flies. Like it was bad. It was bad.
Oh, you murdered the fruit flies? The fruit flies were well fed in that refrigerator that they died.
Well, it was like a whole family of them at the bottom. I think it's because in the summer, you know, I had a lot of them and then they would probably just get trapped. You know what else I need to do? The freezer.
You did the fridge, but not the freezer?
Oh, girl, I take baby steps, okay?
Okay.
I got to crawl before I walk, okay?
Okay. I think that, I think it's important to talk about, like, how high-functioning depression looks like because I feel like I have, like, a mild form of that with very basic things that I need to do in my apartment. Mm-hmm. And I'll walk by them, step over them. I'll look at them and say, I'm going to do that tomorrow. And then days turn into weeks.
But
weeks
also emails, too. Emails. Oh, you could do that as well with emails.
I am doing that with emails.
And you're like, all I have to do is open it up and respond. And for some reason, my heart stops and I'm like, I cannot. Mm-hmm. Not right now. Not today. And then I'll get an alert like, oh, this is from 15 days ago. I'm like, fuck. And then I open it and it's like, oh, that has passed.
Right. Google is annoying about that. You got to dismiss the nudge. Replied 17 days ago. Follow up. Yeah. No, I'll open the email.
Yeah.
I'll read it. And yeah. I say, oh, I'm a respond. Mm-hmm. And I mark it as unread and I leave.
Wait, so how many unread do you have?
Oh, a lot. Because yeah. I just keep getting more emails and not responding to the old ones.
But it's like when, you know, people were messaging me, they're like, what is it that breaks you out of that terrible cycle? Because it's good to talk about the mm-hmm. issues, right? But mm-hmm. what are the solutions? How do you fight it? How do you combat it? And for me, right, like mm-hmm. I have to look at myself and say, is this a reflection of who I really am? I am not this person that like ignores opportunities.
Or that's not like work stuff.
Yeah, yes. That's not the person who I want to be, right? And then I say, I looked in my refrigerator yesterday and I said, this is disgusting. I have to put it on Insta stories because that's the only way I'm going to hold myself accountable. And yeah. I was like, No, it was shameful, Marie. I was very ashamed. I was like, damn, how are people going to look at me? This is nasty. But I was like, I also had to make fun of the fact that it's like, bitch, you put on little rhinestones
yep.
perfectly on yep. your fucking lids, yep. but you can't clean out your refrigerator. Wow. You disgusting whore.
You disgusting whore. I'm going to put my name that in the ring for a title.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That's a great title. You disgusting whore.
You disgusting whore.
I love that. That's mm-hmm. great. But it was only for me to be like solution oriented. Like if I talk to myself like this, this will fight the urge to be like, oh, I'm just going to lay back down and get to it later, you know?
So it's a major step, sis.
Yeah, it is. It was like, but I really was like, damn, are people going to think I'm crazy? Are people going to like not want to work with me? Are people going to think all these bad things about me? And it's like, Sydney,
because of your refrigerator, sis? Yeah. You think because of your fridge, people are going to be like, honestly, I was about to offer her this gig, but I see that she has a milkshake in there from 7 weeks ago. What? Delete the draft?
Marie, you've never like watch somebody on social media and you thought they were cool and then you're like, actually, I'm good on them. Never?
I've seen people that I was like, wow, they're very like, they seem cool or they're very attractive, and then I hear them speak and I'm like, yeah. Oh, ugh, that's what you, and they like go down a couple Ooh. Pegs in my brain. But you really truly thought that? It wasn't even like your fridge was dirty. Well, it didn't look dirty.
No, it was.
Like the other, it didn't look dirty.
I didn't show you the bottom of it. Oh yeah,
I'm sure there was like pink juice at the bottom.
It was pink juice, black juice. Ew. It was like peels of stuff that like disintegrated.
Oh, like garlic.
Ma'am. And it was like so wasteful, and I felt bad because wasting, like that guilt too of waste, being so wasteful. But I also was like, truly this, I want to be honest, like this is a disease, a default, like it sucks. It's not like I'm purposely buying food and then throwing it in the trash. This was like months of me like, damn, maybe I'll get to it. No, you know.
Yeah, but see, no. I hate throwing food away.
Yeah.
So I am also, and I'm the opposite of you right now. My fridge, I keep not going to the supermarket. Mm-hmm. So my fridge is basically empty.
Yeah.
There's a couple bottles of weed tea, a bottle of rosé, a bottle of vino verde. It's bottles of things in there.
People were sending me fridges of like just beverages, and I was like, yeah. You're never home. You're never home, and then you have a few guests, and that's why you have beverages. It's for your guests.
No, I'm home. I'm just like, like every day, literally every day I wake up and I say, I'm going to have a salad tomorrow.
Right.
Tomorrow. I'm going to have it tomorrow. I'm going to make it to every single day. And last night I finally made a tiny ass salad and I was like, wow, a victory.
Oh my God, we have to clap. We have to snap and clap.
A tiny salad. Wait, speaking of tiny salads, Summer Walker had a baby and she's feeding it shrooms, hemp seeds, and honey.
That's what the internet is saying. I don't
know. No, that's the photo that she posted in her stories, blending it up, and she said breast milk was toxic.
Well, if you know what? If you believe that you're a toxic person, maybe that's what she thought. She's like, I am bad, so I don't want to feed my baby this energy.
But people are mad because they're saying that the baby's way too young. You're not supposed to give a baby honey before the age of one, apparently.
The baby's so tiny.
Yeah.
The baby's tiny.
It's Summer just, baby, what are you doing?
Summer baby walker. Is the baby going to be able to walk? Like, what's going on? Like, it's scary, but also it's a sensitive subject, right?
Which part?
I am not a mother. I'm not a mother, but I know some of the things that my mom did. I'm sure somebody could have been like, that is wrong. That's not how you treat a baby. Da-da-da-da-da, you know?
But was your mother feeding you? Because the other ways that you discipline and raise your kid, that's everybody has an opinion about how everybody does everything. And you know people love shaming a woman.
Right.
But the food thing, sis, you have breast milk. Or you can buy formula.
Yeah.
You not doing that? We're blending the hemp seeds that I put in my smoothies to make me less anxious? Like, can a baby even, like, what are the hemp seeds doing to the digestive tract? Like,
I thought hemp was good for, like, your hair and lotion. So I don't even know the purpose of hemp.
I don't have them in my fridge anymore. Wait, no, maybe I do. Hold on. It might be the only thing in there.
Marie, you should show us your fridge.
I'll show you my fridge if Andrew shows us his fridge too.
Oh yeah, Andrew, what the fuck is in your fridge?
I just cleaned it yesterday when I saw your stories, so it is all.
Andrew, what did you throw away? It's a new fridge though.
Yeah,
what
you just got there.
It is a new fridge, but like, I guess like recently, like going out to like more like restaurants and everything.
You had Chick-fil-A in there. Okay, got it.
Yeah,
you had a lot of dog bags.
Expose me. Yeah. But like, you know, when they come to your table and you didn't finish everything, they're like, "Do you want a to-go box?" And it's like you feel like bad if you don't say yes because it's wasting food. But I know by taking it home, it's never gonna get touched.
You gotta give it to a homeless person. That's what I do.
Yeah, but I feel like every time that you're looking for a homeless person, you can never find one.
Yeah, but then you got to leave it in a homeless hotspot, babe. You got to be like, oh, it's going to be, they be gathering here. Let me leave it here with a fork and a knife and a little napkin set.
I'll become aware of where the homeless hotspots are.
I want to say in New York, maybe I'm not walking enough, but I've been in New York and this is the less I've ever seen homeless people compared to LA. I rarely see any homeless people in my neighborhood, and I would say there's parts of, you know, East New York that's very like low income and dingy, but there's homes all around like where I'm at, and I do not see homeless people.
Well,
I might see a drunk, you know, Jamaican man talking to himself, but he's not homeless.
Zaga 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 za.
It wasn't me.
Yes, but LA is the homeless capital of the world, I feel like. Mainly, and or in part, because, you know, Mayor Giuliani, like, bust them out there. The mayor of New York, that's what they claimed he did. He just gave all the homeless people in Times Square, like, a one-way ticket to LA. Plus, you know, people go to LA to be stars, and sometimes the pressure gets too much for them, or I don't know, people stop taking their meds, or people they go to LA with a backpack and a guitar, and and it's not it's not giving what it meant to give. So, but I don't like throwing food away, so I always take it. But I'm usually gonna eat it if I take it. But if I know I'm not gonna eat it, then I look for a homeless person. Have you tried walking through Penn Station, babe?
Facts. That's a good place. Times Square.
Grand Central Terminal, babe.
Yeah.
Andrew Yang's favorite subway station, Times Square.
Yeah. Yeah. Any bus stop. Any bus stop on the Lower East Side.
You know what's different? A lot more women are proposing to the men in their lives. Can we talk about this? Sydney?
Okay, Marie.
Well, yes. I think it's probably different because you date women, so would you propose to your like partner, or would you just assume they were going to propose to you?
I mean, say for instance, I had like I got all this money or whatever, and I felt like very successful and content with myself. I would propose.
Okay.
I wouldn't get on my knees.
Why?
I'm not subscribing to that getting on your knees shit. I don't even want whoever's going to propose to me to get on their knees. You don't need to get on your knees. Open the box and show me beautiful ring. Oh my God, everybody's around. Thank you so much. This is gorgeous. No. I don't need the knee thing. What is the knee thing about? Who started that bullshit?
You just want them to slide the ring across the table?
No, girl.
Get on your knees.
No, you can hold my hand. You can say your speech and have dignity and hold my hand. It's fine.
Well, I think that's, you want her to have dignity because it's a woman. I want the man to get on his knees like he does in all of the movies, in all the rom-coms. I need to be like, oh, like, what, are you tying your shoe real slow? I don't even know if I want to get married, but I know that when you propose to me, whether I say yes or no, I need you to get on your knees. Don't look across the table at Chipotle and be like, you know, I've been having a lot of fun these last couple of weeks.
Weeks? Oh, God.
Yeah, weeks.
She's that good. She's that good, folks. They're proposing after a couple of weeks in Chipotle. Got it.
Well, I mean, Ariana Grande just got married, and wasn't she with her dude for like a couple of months? Like, people move at the pace they want to move, and sometimes they'd be like, when you know, you know. And
yeah, but like, she was constantly getting engaged. So
right, she's just that girl.
She's just that girl.
No, but she's actually like wifed up.
Yeah, no. I know that. Now. I know that. But yeah. I'm saying after the third engagement, I think it's time to be like, we're gonna really do this.
The punch card, yeah.
Yeah.
The punch card. I hope that I hope to be a woman that's engaged multiple times. I think that
you, Marie,
I like that for my future.
That's whoa. This is the first time I heard this. This
I think
is
that I wanna be
So you
I
wanna think, be poly engaged?
No. Ooh. I just wanna be like, cause like J-Lo's been engaged and married a couple times. Lori Harvey's been engaged before. A lot of people just been engaged, and it's like, yeah, let's get married. And then you start to plan stuff, and then you're like, or this is how I think it'll happen for me, is I'd be like, do I really want to plan a wedding? No.
Well, you get someone to plan it for you.
Right. But then you look at somebody one day, maybe you get up, you wake up before them, and they're sleeping next to you with their mouth open, and maybe they got a little crust in their eyes. And you're like, do I want to spend the rest of my life with him? And then you brush your teeth and you're like, I don't know. And then breakfast, he's chewing. You're like, he's chewing too loud. I don't like how he moves his lips when he reads his text messages. I don't know. But like,
well, that's when you know you've fallen out of love with somebody. I'll say that. When you are in love with someone, you can't see any of that shit. But soon as that shoe drops, that one shoe just bloop, that Steve Madden just plop, Cinderella. You're like, yeah, you're like, I fucking hate your forehead. Like,
right.
Your breath stinks. When you can tell that they breath stink, that's when you know the veil of love has just been removed.
The veil of love. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm also putting that down as title. The veil of love.
It's true. Every time I've like have been out of it with someone, I started noticing the things that I just was not seeing at all. And I feel that way about friends too. Like, I know when I'm like, okay, the friendship might have ran its course when I'm thinking these things about them.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, we grow up and we become wiser, less patient people.
Yeah.
Every day that we're alive, we're a little bit closer to being a cranky old person yelling at a kid for being on the lawn. Like, every day we get closer and closer to that. But I think, I don't know. I don't think
the crazy thing is, Marie, you've had more patience now since like our friendship. I will say that. I'll give you that. You give more grace now and you pause before you say something sometimes. And you're like, now, I don't know if you're doing that to everybody else, but I know with me, you do that. With everybody else, you're saying it's the flip of the lip.
Well, sometimes I pause because I forgot what I was about to say. And other times I pause because it's like, is that what I want to say?
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I'm not saying everybody, the older you get, the angrier you get. Mm-hmm. I mean wiser. So you can either keep living your life and reacting to things the way you've been reacting to things and fully turn into your mother and father. Or you can, you know, talk to Lydia once a week and fix what needs to be fixed. But sometimes I'll sit and I'll be like, oh, like, I should be nicer to my friends, or, oh, I'm not that nice to my sister. I could be nicer to her. So, you know, I mean, she's not that nice to me, but I don't know. It's that. Like the same way you got up and you were like, I have to clean my fridge. I will stand up sometimes and be like, I need to think more about what I'm about to say.
Really?
Not like specifically that, but like,
I'm like, specifically give me an example where you're like, I need that. Because the people want to know, Marie.
Well, I can't give you an example. But what I can say is there's less things that I care about now. Like, I know what I don't give a damn about. So it's like, sometimes it's not worth it. It's not worth it to get into it with somebody because you're like, who cares?
Yeah.
Truly, at the peak of my, like, at the center of my being, that's what it is. I don't care.
You don't care, but that doesn't make you mean. And I actually want to change the narrative that Marie Faustin is not mean. That's the title. Marie Faustin is not mean. You are not mean. I think that you are very lighthearted with things. Yeah. And people are not used to people being so free with their words. And that is triggering. So it's just quick to be like, you're mean. But like, over the years, I don't know. I think you were maybe mean before, but definitely not now.
Wow, Sydney. The veil of love.
The veil of love. I see with my bare eyes real mean people.
Yes.
Just not good-hearted.
Yes.
Just like has no regard for anybody except themselves.
Especially in this industry. Yeah. It is wild. It's wild how, like, people will talk to the people who work for them or the crew on a set.
Yeah.
Or sometimes you'll be out and you'll see somebody's eyes just shifting around the room. They're just looking for somebody more famous than you to talk to. And it's like, girl, none of those people want to talk to you. What mean. You doing?
Huh? Mean. I said mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not responding to your friends, but then, like, you're commenting on like every celebrity's page that does not give a fuck about you. Come on now. Mm. You're like, get it together.
Right. Or not supporting your friends.
Yeah.
But quick to post a photo that you took with somebody that is like a degree of separation from you. But you're like, you know what I mean? Like, there are people who just want to be adjacent to fame. Mm-hmm. Or they think that when people see them with people who are famous or whatever, successful.
Adjacent to fame is a great title too. Just like, you
know. Okay, we have four adjacent options now.
Okay, we're working. We're working. We're working, Andrew. We're working.
I understand. Adjacent
we're doing what needs to be done for the pod.
I'm not complaining. I love when there's options, but
it sounded like a complaint, babe.
Oh, okay, no, not filing a complaint, not being mean. You can continue. Like
something you want to take up with HR, babe.
Just want to make sure.
Forever Dog does not have an HR department, but yeah.
A lot of podcasts don't, to be honest. Sad.
Okay, can you read the titles for us and we can decide which one we want?
Sure. They are You Disgusting Whore, The Veil of Love, Marie Faustin Is Not Mean, or Adjacent to Fame.
Honestly, these are all books that I would read.
These are so good. I feel like we have like 10 more minutes left. I feel like there's another title.
There might be another one.
There's a title on the horizon, Sydney.
Yeah,
honestly. I think that's a good title.
Title on the horizon is great, too. Title on the horizon, love. I love that.
Wow.
And you know we take a screenshot and we have to post so people can guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, should we read any of these questions that we've gotten?
Yes, please.
for the pod.
Yeah, we appreciate you. My literate babe.
I'm like, illiterate?
No.
Squeeze me?
Sorry.
Okay, wait. Writing to the pod. Okay, let's see. There's a photo attached. Okay, great. First of all, can I just say that people have been showing up to all of the niche shows, a lot of people who listen to the podcast, and y'all are fucking, wow, y'all are dope.
We love y'all so much. Like, y'all really come out, and the touching things that you say, oh my God.
Truly, I'd be like, you know, we show up on this podcast, some of us, both of us, most of us, like right before we start to record, and we sometimes don't have anything to talk about. We're just talking about how we feel. So to hear that y'all are, we got you through the pandemic.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it's comedic, but I love that for us. I love that for us. It's so funny. It's funny. I mean, it's great too, but it's like, what?
Yeah. Also, someone left a comment on iTunes, and they said that we're the most underrated podcast, and I totally agree.
I agree.
But also, we're pretty, like, we're kind of casual. We're not like, oh my God, we need to get the biggest celebrity. We need to, which is probably not best in terms of marketing for us, but we're just so chill.
Mm-hmm.
Should we work on that, Marie?
Work on what?
Being less chill, I think.
Being motivated to post constantly and be better about promoting the podcast?
Yeah.
We should probably work on that. You know.
Yeah.
But also, it's like, sometimes I go through like these phases of like, social media is too much work. And it's just like, I'd rather just like not do anything on it.
But that's the high functioning depression in some of us, or especially me. It's like, I can get on there, but I cannot post on there.
Right.
Or I can like see something and engage with it, but then I can't do my own shit.
Yeah.
It's sick.
Yeah.
It's sick. It's like I feel embarrassed to promote myself. It's easier to promote a friend.
Really? You feel embarrassed promoting yourself?
I do.
Like sharing a picture, sharing one of the 12,000 selfies in your phone? You feel embarrassed to like post one of those, is what you're saying?
No, I think that's so easy because that's like very surface. I think like to promote my actual content or like, you know, I had a clip for Comedy Central and I hated myself. It's sad to say out loud. I was like, I hate every little thing about me.
About the set or about what you looked like in the video?
No, the set, just me. I was like, I am annoying. I was like, I don't see any good in me. It was sick. Like, I was like, What are you about to say?
I said, sis, I think you got to get you a little Lydia, sis. It's time.
Yeah.
Well, I just got a response back to Sherry, and she is unavailable, but she gave me a list of people to contact.
So. There we go.
Right, because, I mean, yeah, you're doing the antidepressant thing, but I think that talking about how you feel and why you feel it is probably going to be more helpful than just sitting in your house and hating everything about what you're saying, you know? But also, like, we watch these videos that they post of us that we stressed about before the shoot and stressed about on the day of and, like, found an outfit for. And then they post it and you're like, first of all, I felt funnier and I've never been less funny than I am in this video. That's how I feel anytime, you know, certain networks post me on
which
their page.
Which is crazy because I look at, I mean, it's probably just the veil of love that I like everything I see, like your stories, anything. I'm like the first person to like yell out loud. Like, I'm like, she is so funny and likable. I want to hang out with her right now. Like, that's when
Sydney,
I see
you. That
is
definitely the veil of love because everybody is not saying that.
No, that's not true, Marie. You have so many like diehard fans.
Sydney, I'm saying everybody is not saying that. There are people who support me and they love what I do and they recognize me in New Orleans and that's fantastic. But there are, maybe I don't want to quantify it, but I'm still, I'll watch stuff and I'll be like, I'm funnier than that. Why did I save jokes? That's the thing, saving jokes. You're like, oh, I want to do funny stuff, but I want to do my really funny stuff on The Tonight Show. Or I want to do my really funny stuff for Netflix. And then it's like, you just never do those jokes. Like, girl, what is this like crap that you're putting out? You will come up with funnier stuff later, eventually. That's my biggest problem, is I keep trying to save jokes. And it's like, just do it. You know?
Yeah, I hear you, sis.
I thought that your video was funny, Sydney. And I was there when you recorded it and I laughed, so.
I saw it and I immediately threw my phone. I threw my phone and I was like, the only good thing about this is that fucking coat.
That's a lie. The coat it's a nice coat though.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, here we go. Andrew, did you have anything that you wanted to add to what you just heard?
Oh, I feel like it's like hard to say because I'm not obviously doing the same thing as either of you. But it's just like, it's always difficult to hear when you guys are like feeling like not that confident about the work that you put out. Because I see, obviously, that it's great. It's great content. I'm not just being facetious. And it's also like, I see everybody else is also obsessed with you. So it's just like, it's disappointing to hear that you don't see the same thing. But it's like, obviously we all have those days and it sucks, but it's just like,
yeah, I think, but
focus on
as a creative though, we are our own worst critics. That's just what it is across the board. So we're already critiquing it differently than the other people who are just watching it to enjoy it. We're watching it to see what's wrong with it.
Like, yeah, of course.
I'm watching it to be like, all of the things that I missed, all of the things that I did not say. Mm-hmm. But also it's like, I laugh at things that I do and say all day long. I'm literally, most of my day is me sitting in this house laughing at myself. So, so to watch a video and not laugh once, it's like, ugh, why did I say that? Like, who is that? Why did I do that? You know what I mean?
And it sucks because you're like, I should be more confident than this because I radiate confidence on usually, but at the end of the day, I'll see, you know, that stuff. And I'm like, I just want to Men in Black erase everybody's memory of me and my jokes so that I can start over.
Yeah.
Okay. Men in Black erase it. But I mean, you could do the next best thing and just call your manager and be like, tell him to take it down. Right. That's how you Men in Black erase when you have management. My laptop is about to die. So yeah, let's talk this out. It's at 12%. Yeah. We have time. Let me lower the brightness. yes, here we go. This is from John Watson. I guess this is the pod's email. If not, I'm sorry for spamming you, Marie. It went to my inbox. I'm a very new listener. I think I started in March. Okay, so just got here. Still got the new listener smell. I found out about you guys through Sydney, who I saw through a couple of other podcasts and on Baited. Baited. Whose podcast is Baited?
No, Baited is Z-Way's show.
Oh, Baited. Okay. It seems like you guys all know so many under-the-radar, talented, and funny people. Many of the same people who know others at the same fame level or slightly higher. Okay.
All right. Where is this
email? Yeah, where is this going?
Okay, I'm about to read it to you.
Okay.
How do I get like that?
Oh.
I live near Atlanta and want to be a showrunner one day, probably for sitcoms. I write scripts. I went to film school, blah, 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 blah. I'm on track to make something great. Okay, Tyler Perry Jr., love this for you. But how do I meet all the medium stars like you guys, no offense, before they become big stars? I think of your friends Lacey Mosley, Ayo Edebiri, and Z-Way, who are blowing up right now. I want to be in situations where I can know and use those types of people to help my career and help their careers as well. Okay? Where do I find those comics? Is it as simple as making a casting call? Am I overthinking it? I'm sorry if this came out the wrong way. I'm grateful for any help that you can give. It's more in that, but I'm tired of reading.
Hold on, Marie. Andrew, what do you, because you're, this is impartial. Well, how do you feel about this email?
I almost, like, don't, I want this to be cut. I don't think.
You want it to be cut?
No. This is real.
I just feel.
They hit send, so they're staying in there.
God. Yeah. I feel like they were dragging some of your past guests. I don't know. A little bit with, like, the medium stars. And also, I don't know. I didn't really like the way that John was saying, like, using you as a connector. I don't know. What do you think?
Sydney?
The first thing you need to learn about the industry is the way you ask for things. This was not the best way to ask for help, because not only are you not acknowledging really the people who you're asking for help, you're lumping us in with these people where you're like, I want to meet those people and work with those people. You didn't say, hey, I want to be a showrunner and work with you girls. You're like, how do I get connected with these other people?
Exactly.
So it's a slap. It's a backhanded compliment, because you're like, well, you guys are kind of in the running, but I want to meet more of those people.
Yeah.
This is what I got from that. The way that you meet people in any industry that you work in is you all start around the same time.
Yeah.
You work together on projects. You build a rapport. Mm-hmm. As they start to book things, everybody on that level starts to book things. Mm-hmm. And then you are a, quote, medium side, medium. What did it say? Medium. Wait, under the radar medium thing.
I can't even.
Yeah, stars like you guys.
Right,
yeah.
All the medium stars have been working for close to the same amount of years.
Yeah.
So as we spend more time working and people start to book things, it's not because, Jay, what's his name? John, you got to start at the beginning. You still have to start at novice level, whatever it is that you're doing. And as you start to become successful, the people around you will also be more successful.
Yes. And Issa Rae said she doesn't want to work up. She wants to work around. So the people that she's with, that's who she wants to bring to the top. She doesn't want to be at the bottom and reach for the people at the top, because that's not real. That's clout chasing.
Exactly.
It's tacky.
And we were legit just talking about this, but that's what that is. Like, the people you're reaching up to work with, people who are more famous or more successful or have more years in, they get nothing out of working with you.
Nothing.
Literally nothing.
Yeah.
They're working with the people who are on the same level as them, and that's what you need to be doing, Mr. Dude Man. Okay?
Yeah. I totally agree. You just need to just not be thinking of higher up. You need to start at the same level, because there are going to be, you know, the Lacey's, the IOs, those people in your presence. And they will, if they like you, I'm sure you're a very nice person to be around. So it's like, okay, they'll want to work with you if you have that relationship.
Well, are you? Are you a nice person?
I don't know. Maybe
you're like, I'm sorry this came out wrong. But I tell people, because I have to do this to myself, write something and then read it out loud. How does it sound when you're saying it? It sound like rude or stepping over boundaries? We don't know you from Adam. Did he even send a picture?
He did send a picture.
Okay. All right.
He said, I'm only 24 despite my stature. Okay. You guys are kind of underrated with how sweet Sydney is and how smart Marie is. I should have read the rest of the email. It says... Wait, hold on. It says, I hope to cast you guys one day because you're both so talented. Yo,
we dragged him. Marie, we dragged.
Oopsie daisy.
But he should have started up top. He should have started up top. I would love to work with you guys.
Right. Compliment sandwich. You got to start with the good.
Yeah.
Put the crap in the middle. Mm-hmm. Then end with
and strong. And strong.
Right. Yeah.
Here's some of my work. Here's some of the things. Here's, like, give us something that we can click on and be like, okay, let me check your stuff out.
Right.
Cut all the middle stuff out about, like, medium celebrity. Like, no. I leave the shade to us. You don't need to be shady.
Oh my God. What a nice guy. My laptop was dying.
Wow, I took that personally.
What?
I mean,
his message?
Yeah.
His message.
I'm over here like, I don't think I hate what I look like. I hate everything. And he's like, yeah, can you introduce me to your other famous friends?
He wasn't asking for an introduction. He was saying, how does he get from where he is to people who are, I guess, at that level of about to pop off?
Yeah.
And it's like, babe, you got to put in the 10,000 hours. Mm-hmm. And while you're putting in the work to become a good showrunner or scriptwriter, the people that you take these classes with will be the people that you end up working with in the future.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. they see what you do and they're always looking and they're like, yeah. They always want to work with someone.
Totally. And like always be down to just like do whatever project with whoever. It doesn't matter, like these sort of statuses. It doesn't mean anything. You're
talking about like people that you collaborate with.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's all that it is. It's nothing more, nothing less. Mm-hmm. But you have to be nice. And we did see that you're nice at the very end of the email, so. Yeah. Andrew, before we go, I guess.
Yes.
You have a podcast.
I do.
Click of the Week.
I do.
And I was looking at clips.
Yeah.
I was watching your stories the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about how when you watch those shows and there's like a big audience mm-hmm. or a big ass crowd, that most of the time the audience is not real.
It's true. Okay, so like in the early seasons of Glee, they would have like actual full audiences, but later mm-hmm. on in later seasons, then budget cuts or whatever, they had to fill in half the audience with dummies. And you pause for 1 second, you could see.
You see that there's not real
people. They're not real people. And so we had one of the cast members on for this week's episode, and it was fun to talk about that.
Glee
of the Week Beach.
Sydney, is there something you want to leave the listeners with before we get out of here? Any final thoughts or words?
Yeah, we are underrated. But I think we are underrated, but people see where we're going.
Mm.
But like, it's just easy to wait for someone to pop off and then hop on the bandwagon than to stay while they're kind of like in that gray area. So it's like, I see the people who are like sticking by us right now. Like, I'm not gonna forget those fucking people. But
the people who are sticking by you?
Yeah, but the people who catch on after the fact.
But it's like when you're a professional athlete and you make it big into the whatever, basketball, football, whatever, and you're with the girl that you dated in high school
mm-hmm.
versus when you're famous and rich and then like all the groupies pop up and they're just like, they just want to be around you. Mm-hmm. They just want to, you know, they want to ride your coattails. They want to drink in your section. They just want to be there. And it's like, I don't know, it's better to be with people who actually want to work with you and actually want you to be around. So, you know. That's it. But also,
I just can't fucking wait when the time does come. Oh man, I can't.
Which time?
When our time comes.
Pop off.
What you gonna do, sis?
I can't say. It's not for me to say. But just know that. Ooh.
Well, I think Sydney, I think you could benefit from, we talked about this before, an unfollow spree. I really, again, cannot stress enough. Your following number is too much. So I think that when you pop off, I think that's the first thing you need to do.
He's saying you need to do a purge, babe.
Yeah.
A cleanse.
Let them know you didn't make the cut. Yeah.
You're
Andrew
right.
Andrew said it's too many people that you follow. Mm-hmm. Well, we've talked about this before. You know our good sis is a supportive social media user. So it is what it is.
But yeah, I'm the sweet one, Maria, and you're the smart one.
But I think it's just like the refrigerator. You just
sweet
gotta.
Sweet and smart.
Sweet and smart. Okay, well, that's it for me, babe.
Yeah, me too.
Sweet and smart.
Yeah, we love that.
Make sure you rate and you comment and you subscribe on other people's phones who are around you that are unlocked when they get up to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, and if you think we're so underrated, like, are you fucking reposting us? Are you telling people to listen to the pod? Like, the fuck?
Right, like the other day, this guy, we were at the AT&T store, and this guy was like, what's your Instagram? And I added myself, and then I added the unofficial expert. So
good job.
I should have gone. If I was smart, I would have gone to his iTunes and I would have subscribed. But
good job, sis.
I didn't do that. Yeah. So, you know, if you're going to be going through your man's phone anyway, just subscribe to the podcast.
If we're underrated, it's really y'all. It's your fault.
And
you let the people know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Sydney. Thank you. All right. Well, bye, friends.
Love you. Bye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. The Unofficial Expert is executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Senior producer, Tracy Soren. Produced by Andrew McGuire. Cover art by Sandy Honig. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcasts.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcasts on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook @foreverdogteam to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.